Welcome back to the Prayer Podcast. I'm Pastor Joe Patterson, along with my friend, as always, Pastor Christy Allen.
Hello. Happy to be with you today, Joe.
Well, Christy, I know we have been talking about periodically here on the podcast. We are going to just kind of take some time to explore some people, ancient people, people that have been around that we know about from the past that have been about prayer in their life and have offered us models, have offered us perspectives, have taught us about prayer. And also to take a critical look at sometimes of how some of those things in the past can certainly assimilate to our current culture and some that can't.
So today
in our next podcast, we're going to be doing a two-part discussion about a prayer trailblazer, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And I love that word.
Yes.
I love that term, Joe. Trailblazer is such a vivid, imaginative way of just finding your own path and a way.
Well, and it also suggests that, and when you put that with prayer, it suggests that prayer is active.
Yes.
There's an activeness to it.
There's an activeness to it, absolutely. And a pursuit of,
yes,
of how that looks.
And so John Wesley's who we're going to devote our next two podcasts to and discussing his relationship with prayer and how that impacted his relationship and his pursuit of God.
Mm-hmm.
Down the road, we were going to kind of commit to having these discussions about all kinds of different people and their learnings and their experience with prayer. And so today, particularly, John Wesley means a little bit to us here in United Methodist Church, just a little bit. Because if you really dig into who John Wesley is, the crux to his core, his life experience is really the tapestry of the Methodist movement,
mm-hmm.
And the Methodist movement being those foundational principles, those beginnings, infancy beginnings of a movement that became the United Methodist Church that we get to enjoy in current day.
Yeah.
The really interesting thing is, so many people are part of the United Methodist Church, they know of John Wesley. But John Wesley didn't wake up one morning and say, I'm gonna start this church called United Methodist.
Right. He never meant to start a church, did he?
That never happened. He, into his dying day,
mm-hmm.
he was an ordained Anglican priest.
Right.
Never gave up those orders,
mm-hmm.
never intended to give up those orders, but was on a rigorous pursuit of God and a pursuit of some things that he felt did not look right, or
weren't occurring with a lot
Anglican
of social justice issues,
yes.
Particularly.
He was about trying to rewrite the narrative of the mm-hmm. Anglican faith, and so a movement broke apart, from the Anglican faith and became the Methodist movement in the United Methodist Church. So, we think of John Wesley as the author of everything Methodist, and some of that is true.
Mm-hmm.
There's some truth to that, but at his heart, he was Anglican.
Yeah,
he was Anglican. So, Christy, this guy, John Wesley,
this character,
he a tough nut to crack.
Yes.
I mean, this is not a guy. We were kind of laughing about this a couple minutes ago. This is not a guy that you want to ring on the phone or send a text to and say, hey, let's go hang out and go watch a soccer match or, go to dinner.
Yeah.
Did not give off the warm fuzzies.
No.
Socially.
No, he was not. And he like you said, was not a warm fuzzy, was all about business.
Yes.
He was all about business. And I think when we look at him and think about him, and we were talking about this too, about just the very humanness of him, and there's things to admire and things to go, oh wow, well, okay.
Yeah.
He was human, you know, and we all are. But the things we can admire are certainly his pursuit and his understanding of we need to be engaged with God.
Yes.
And we need to be engaged with the things that God is about. That God is about loving the poor. God is about justice for those who have, you know, for all people and these kinds of things. But anyway, in his personality, I think if we were to go back in time and spend some time with him, we would think, man, this dude is OCD.
Yeah.
Like he was very obsessive. Yes. In the ways that he outlined things.
Right.
So in saying that, what I'm trying to say is this was his way of dealing with it, with the way his mind worked, the way his culture worked,
right,
and the ways that he himself was trying really, really hard to pursue God,
right,
and to become holy, and to be about the things that God was about. So some of it might sound a bit much to us, but I think we can glean some helpful things and that we could use for ourselves in thinking of, well, how do I operate? What does my day look like? What does my life look like? Because he very much realized that God needed to be part of his everyday, not just Sunday, which I think was part of the problem he had with the church, the Anglican church, that it was this Sunday, you hear the sermon, there you go, good job. You know.
Well, but, it was so cerebral and academic,
yes,
you know, and elitist.
Yes, and not for the common
people. Not for the common
people,
person.
Like
and
for all
he,
people.
He had a big problem with that.
That's right. And wanted it to be part of everyone's life, and very much took it in a very literal way to the streets.
Right.
So like I said, a lot of things we can admire, and then some things were like, well, this is maybe too much for me, but the heart behind what he was trying to do and his passion, which I think I wish I had more of, to really go very hardcore at pursuing God,
right,
and connecting people to that pursuit,
right,
helping them find their way, like his societies that he would build,
yes,
where they would get together and pray and talk about scripture and hold each other accountable. That whole thing was about that, about sharing it with everyone. And then as you left that meeting, now where, when I leave this place, I'm going to go do all the good I can and all the
right
places I can and every way that I can, you know, all of these things. So, but when it comes to prayer, so that's what we're all about here on the Prayer Podcast. He really tried to live into that scripture that talks about pray without ceasing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you can see in his habits that's really what he was trying to do.
Talk more about those habits, and we can kind of look at.
Yeah, let's look at them real quick, because we've got a little bit of a list here. But he really had his intention was to yield his life completely to God, for God's glory, and to become more like Jesus. So that was kind of his overarching purpose in these habits. That's what his goal was. But he would get up at like 4 a.m, Joe, and to pray.
Yeah,
which to us sounds crazy. But maybe it wasn't for him. But that was the time he would set aside for some really serious prayer.
Sure.
I don't know how long he prayed for, but I can imagine that was probably a long prayer time. He would fast 2 days a week, until 3 p.m. And he would meet regularly, as I was saying earlier, with other Christians, and they would read the Bible together and really dig into the scripture. They would really dig in and talk about what that meant to them and how it should impact how they live and how they look at others. And at those meetings, the accountability we talked about, did communion every week, which we've been doing here at Broadway.
Yes.
So I think that's interesting. And he personally would read and meditate on scripture daily, which again, we've been encouraging through the common rule that we were talking about in services here over the last few weeks. But here's where I love this too. He would pursue ways that he could act compassionately, and help with the poor and prisoners and the elderly. He would go visit people in prison,
right.
And things like that. And he would also pursue a simple life. He wasn't about possessions. He wasn't about obtaining wealth. He would use his money to help the poor. And I think I read somewhere, Joe, that his goal was when he died, he didn't want to have anything. Yeah. He wanted to like spend his last farthing or whatever money he would have had then, and go out with nothing, that everything would have been given and used. He was very practical,
right.
Very, very practical. So yeah, just kind of a very rigid, hardcore way for him. But like we were saying, that worked for him. But we felt a tension there, Joe, when we were talking about him earlier.
Absolutely.
So talk about the tension we felt between this very rigid structure and what he was trying to do, and how that can, that tension can hit us sometimes.
Well, I think we read about John Wesley and we automatically think of the amount of kind of blood, sweat, and tears.
Yes,
he was working,
yes,
on these things. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're not going to sit here in this podcast today and say that, you know, spiritual development and a thriving faith isn't at times work. There's likely work involved with it sometime.
Sure, absolutely.
But if it is too hard,
mm-hmm,
and it is not life-giving, if mm-hmm it is, if it be, it begets kind of a poor attitude.
Yes, a stress.
A stress.
Mm-hmm.
It's likely not of God. It's likely not thrusting you towards holiness. It's likely not giving you the growth spiritually that you think it is.
Right.
And I think that's where the tension is that you read of Wesley just being so Johnny on the spot. And it was a different time, totally different time. There are not entertainment things that are involved in the life of John Wesley. They're just not available.
Mm-mm. And people worked very hard.
They worked very hard.
That was just culture.
It's not a culture of leisure. Mm-hmm. It is a culture of work.
Mm-hmm.
And you get your work done, and family is very important, you know. And John Wesley didn't have family. He didn't have a family. And when he did have a family, it was a train wreck.
Yeah.
You know, his marriage was not good.
Mm-hmm.
And his relationships were, you know, he was not good at close relationships with people.
Yes.
Very, very surface in his relations with all his parishioners, with all his circuit riding preacher, you know, all mm-hmm these people that were involved in John Wesley's ministry, all the people he inspired, that God inspired through him, he held at arm's length.
Yeah.
Did not have a very, very positive relationship with those folks. So while it's likely work, it's not supposed to be work. It's supposed to flow into the inhale and exhale natural autotomic movements of our life.
Of your life,
you know
what your day is and your rhythms of life.
And,
yes.
You know, and just to reiterate, you know, Justin Early talks about in that book that we've been exploring, you know, I just always hear when I'm reading it, it says, you have to be you.
Mm-hmm.
You be you. You, yep, be the best version of you that you can be when it comes to these things and connecting to God, because that's what God wants.
That's right.
That's really what God wants. And I think, considering the culture, considering the time, John Wesley, and considering his lack of family, lack of responsibilities, this is, in his heart of hearts, what John Wesley thought God wanted of him.
Sure.
And it just may not be what God wants of you. I guess that's what we're saying.
Yeah, that we don't have to live to this
measure. We don't
have
to live to those standards. We have to live to God's standard based on who you are and what he's designed you to be, and accessing the very best version of who you are.
Mm-hmm. And finding those times you were saying earlier, like when we were talking about the getting up early in the morning.
Yes.
Some people might be up that early in the morning, and that's a great time because everyone else is sleeping. I enjoy the morning when no one else is up and I sit on my porch. I enjoy that. It's not necessarily quite that early, but for others, it might be later in the day or in the evening or whatever. But the point being, find a time that works for you and find rhythms that work for you. But I do think John Wesley does give us a good frame.
Yeah.
We kind of talked about that, the idea of pursuing. I love that, pursuing. God pursues us, and so we need to pursue back. Like, yeah. You know, you can't have a one-way relationship. It does take effort and intentionality, but and part of that intentionality is what you're saying. Like, how do I fit that into what I'm already doing? Because God's already part of what I'm doing. God's already here. God's already working in me, through me, around me. It's that head on the swivel we always talk about, Joe. It's like, how can I just become more aware and right. lean into God's presence? And how can I make that be natural to who I am? But some of these ways that John Wesley did that can be very helpful for us. Like receiving communion weekly can be very, very helpful for us to be a reminder of God's grace in our life every week, you know? So I feel like we can lean into some of these, but like you said, kind of dial it back to what is God asking of me?
Right.
And where do I need to maybe turn up my intentionality, but not be so rigid? Cause you definitely get a vibe from him that he was just very rigid, very all about it all the time and working very hard at it. But in the meanwhile, his heart was, I have a need for God and I need to constantly be looking to that. So attending to that.
Well, I think it's appropriate that we close this podcast today. And next time we're going to be a little more practical. We're going to talk a little bit more about, revisiting those things from, the common rule book, just kind of reiterating things through the lens of that book and the lens of John Wesley, just kind of, you know, being complimentary of one another and how that could maybe inspire us to movement in our prayer life. But I think we're going to close today with this prayer that John Wesley had, and just talks about just our heart, our soul, and just offering the depths of those places to God on a every moment basis. And Christy, why don't you close us today with that prayer and wrap us up and we'll go on our day today.
Okay. I want to invite you to just take a moment and be present as we talk to the one who loves us more than we can even imagine. So will you pray with me? Oh, merciful God, whatever you may deny me, do not deny me this love. Save me from the idolatry of loving the world or any of the things of the world. Let me never love any creature but for your sake and in subordination to your love. Take full possession of my heart. Raise there your throne and command there as you do in heaven. Being created by you, let me live to you. Being created for you, let me ever act for your glory. Being redeemed by you, let me render to you what is yours, and let my spirit ever cleave to you alone. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, amen.